Well, as I say, I'm conscious of the fact that a good number of you come regularly on Tuesdays at lunchtime, and we're grateful for your support of our lunchtime services. And you'll know that we've got this series, The Truth About Jesus, that we're thinking about at the moment, and today is number 4 in that series. If you've been for the last 3 weeks, you'll know that the first week, Dominic spoke about Jesus' outrageous claims and spoke about the new life that he longed that we might know. And the second week, he spoke about Jesus' audacious love and used the verse that Paul wrote where he said, "Live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And we're thinking about that sacrifice today. Last week, Dominic's theme was Jesus' amazing Father. And if you are here, you'll remember that Dominic focused on Jesus' parable about the lost son, or the prodigal son, as we often call him. Remember the son who squandered his inheritance in a distant country. But then a famine came which helped to bring him to his senses. And so he decided to return to his father and seek his forgiveness. And we read, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." The father had compassion on his wayward son. He didn't deserve it. In fact, many an earthly father would have said, "Serves you right." But in telling that parable, Jesus was pointing to our Heavenly Father, who shows compassion on his wayward children, on you and me, who have gone our own way, done our own thing, pleased ourselves with no thought of God. And friends, our Heavenly Father is waiting for us, longing for us, to return to him, seek his forgiveness. And when we do that, he will welcome us. He will be filled with compassion for us. Radical compassion, today's title. Because that compassion is so undeserved. But you may say, how has God shown this compassion for us? Well, of course, the answer is by sending his son into this world 2,000 years ago. And so we have today's title, Jesus' Radical Compassion. Now, of course, compassion characterized Jesus' earthly life and ministry. In Matthew's Gospel, we read this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And in another place we read, Jesus withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And again, when a crowd had been following him, we read, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way." And that actually leads on to the feeding of the 4,000. One more example. We read, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And it says, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Yes, compassion characterized Jesus' earthly life. Compassion for all men, but I guess especially for the needy, the sick, the blind, the helpless, the hungry, and those who are isolated and marginalized by society, like the leper. And friends, the wonderful truth for us today is that whoever we are, whatever our needs may be, Jesus has compassion for us also. But today's topic is Jesus' radical compassion. Why radical? It's more than time that we read today's Bible reading. You'll see it on the inside of the order of service there, under the heading, The Crucifixion of Jesus, which describes how radical Jesus' compassion was. It says, the soldiers led him away. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. It was customary for a condemned criminal to carry either the cross or its crossbar to the place of execution. We believe that Jesus started the journey to the place where he would be crucified carrying his cross, but it seems he had been weakened so much by the scourging that the soldiers got a hold of a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, to carry the cross. And as we've read, there were those who were deeply saddened by what was happening, especially these women who Jesus calls daughters of Jerusalem. But typically, as Jesus goes to the cross, he's not thinking of himself, but of them. Do not weep for me, he says. Weep for yourselves and for your children. You see, he wanted their repentance, not their sympathy. Jesus looked with compassion upon them because he knew that the day was coming when Jerusalem would be destroyed because of the people's sins, and that actually happened in AD 70. Jesus was led to this slow and painful death. Two other men were crucified with him, described here as criminals or thieves in some other gospels. And then we have this moving prayer where Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive them. Some of you will know the song Meekness and Majesty. And the second verse goes like this, speaking of Jesus. Father's pure radiance, perfect in innocence, yet learns obedience to death on a cross. Suffering to give us life, conquering through sacrifice, and as they crucify, prays, Father, forgive. And then the chorus begins, oh, what a mystery. What a mystery that Jesus should come and forgive those who put him on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And he's no doubt thinking of the Jews who were responsible for the crucifixion and the Romans who carried it out. Father, forgive them. This is radical compassion, is it not? Now, we can show compassion on a good day, can't we? We can show compassion for those in need on a good day. We can be especially good at showing compassion to those who are our friends, or those who perhaps have shown us compassion on some previous occasion. But that's not radical compassion, is it? Jesus showed compassion to those who sentenced him to death, to those who mocked him, to those who scourged him, to those who crucified him. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. That is radical compassion. But in dying on the cross, Jesus did not only show compassion for those who crucified him. Remember the words of the hymn we sang at the beginning. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to death pursued? I'm sure you know the Negro spiritual. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And yes, the answer is, we were there. Because it was our sin that caused his pain. It was us who pursued him to death. Jesus' radical compassion has been shown to us. You may well know the modern hymn that says, filled with compassion for all creation, Jesus came into a world that was lost. There was but one way that he could save us, only by suffering death on a cross. How are we going to respond to Jesus' radical compassion? Some of us perhaps know that we are not yet Christians. We're searching, we're looking for the truth about Jesus. Well, Jesus offers forgiveness now as then. You may know that one of those two criminals who died on crosses alongside Jesus became a Christian, became a follower of Jesus before he breathed his last. We often call him the dying thief. He realized he was getting what his deeds deserved. That was death. That's what his deeds deserved as a criminal, as a thief. But he said, this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. And he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Well, Jesus offers forgiveness to us today, as to the dying thief. Others of us sitting here are Christians. What is the message for us today? Well, our job is to make known Jesus' radical compassion. The modern hymn I began earlier goes on, great is your passion for all the people, living and dying without knowing you. Having no Saviour, they're lost forever. If we don't speak out and lead them to you. And the chorus goes on, God, you are waiting, your heart is breaking for all the people who live on the earth. Stir us to action, filled with your passion for all the people who live on the earth. Well, may God help us to pass on the message of Jesus' radical compassion, and indeed to show it in our everyday lives. Let us pray together.